There we go. Good morning, church. Wow. What an amazing morning. I feel like... We're just going to breathe. Why don't you just take a moment? I feel like we can't skip over the presence that we've just experienced. So why don't you just take a minute to breathe and just soak in God's presence. We don't want to override that. Jesus, we recognize that you're here. Lord, we give you space to move however you want to move this morning. I just feel like there's something about just engaging in the weight of his presence right now. I don't want you to zone out or feel awkward in the silence. Just feel his presence come upon you. Just feel his presence come upon you. You don't have to stay in your seat. It's totally free to kneel or to stand. Let him refresh you. Let him refresh you. I'm not in a rush. He's not in a rush. We're not in a rush. Just breathe deep with him at the moment. God, I just pray refreshing over each one of these people here today. Lord, I pray that we would acknowledge your holiness, your worthiness, Jesus. I pray that we would come low this morning and not bypass your presence, not bypass your holiness. That we would strip everything back to see the glory, to lay everything down. Don't lose where you're at, but there's something really important when you recognize the Spirit of God, when you recognize his presence. Something really important about it that makes you not want to do anything else but to stop and just wait on him. It's almost like this fear of God comes on you. It's like, wow, he's here, he's here, he's here, he's here. Stop what you're doing, acknowledge his presence and let him come. To focus fully on the one that saved your soul, to focus fully on the one who died for you, to give you back life in all of its fullness and all of its abundance. Sometimes we don't have to say words. for him to come. We just have to be still. And I just feel that's what we have to do in this moment. If you feel his presence upon you, just start thanking him. Just start thanking him. Just start thanking him. The Holy God. Holy, 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 you are Jesus. I've just been thinking recently that in our life sometimes we'll find ourselves in situations and but it's in those kind of different circumstances we find ourselves in that we can only find like a degree of God that we couldn't find anywhere else. And it's thanking him for the season that we're in. I don't know what season you guys are in or really what season I'm in at the moment, to be honest, but every season you can find a piece of God. In part of the valley you can find a piece of God that you can't find on the mountaintop. And I kind of want to just bring our attention to that today. And in these moments where it feels like we just have to wait on God, it's because there's a piece of him that he wants to reveal to us in the silence. Might feel uncomfortable. I feel a bit uncomfortable, but that's okay. He wants to reveal a piece of him, a part of his character in the silence today. I feel like there's, I'm going to go off my notes a bit. I feel like the worship we had today was almost awakening this kind of deep groan within us of wow, God, you are worthy, you are holy. Like, this realization that he is the King of Kings. Sometimes I have these moments where I'm like blown away by his holiness and I feel the fear of God. I'm like, wow. And there's ground sometimes where even angels fear to tread. That blows my mind. I think it's so easy to forget how holy he is. And may our prayer be, may we never forget how holy he is. May we never forget how holy he is. And in seasons where we can't exactly see where God is, or we can't exactly recognize his presence, or if he's silent, it's an opportunity just to go deep and deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper. I love Hannah's story in 1 Samuel, where She's barren. She really wants a child. She's begging God, Lord, if you give me a child, I promise to give him back to you. And she comes so desperate. She's praying and praying and praying, and she's not seeing any breakthrough. And it's in her desperation that her heart cry, when she cries out to God for a son, without knowing it, her heart cry aligns with God's heart cry for a prophet, because at that time Israel was in trouble and Hannah wanted a son. God had an agenda to send a prophet to help the nation. And in Hannah's desperation, she goes so deep with her spirit, like, oh God, I'm so frustrated, please help me. Please answer my prayer. Please, I'm praying for breakthrough, to have a son, to bless my family. And I promise, if you bless me, I will give back what you give me. And it just blew my mind that her heart cry, when she persevered in prayer, when she persevered for breakthrough and to see an outcome, to see God move, her heart actually aligned with God's heart cry and God brought a prophet. I just find that amazing. Sometimes we have to get real with God. Get real with God, get real with our hearts. And get desperate sometimes. Get desperate sometimes with the awareness that He will move. I've kind of come to the awareness that our devotion, Hannah's devotion, was very pure and consistent, and she saw her breakthrough. But our devotion sometimes can go anywhere. Your devotion can go anywhere. It can go on man, it can go on other religion, it could go on worldly things. But when your devotion is fully founded on Jesus Christ, you will see the goodness, you will have an understanding of His goodness. And I think with faith and devotion, if you don't have a core value truth that God is good, then I feel like your faith can only go so far. Because if you don't have a core value truth within you that God is good, then how can you believe that He'll come through for you with something if you don't believe He's good? He is good. He is good. He is good.
Amen.
I was in March, April time, I was in a care home in South Africa, not as a resident, that sounds like as a resident, but as a visitor doing ministry. And I was really shocked, actually. We walked in and probably 70-80% of them were in wheelchairs, and all of them had strokes. And we went in just super expectant, like, God is going to move. We believe God is good. We believe that we're going to see His glory today. And although they couldn't hear very well or necessarily see very well, God's presence came and they felt it. And I remember praying for this woman whose left arm was paralyzed. And I was like, God, I would love to see her healed. I was like, can I pray for you? And after maybe five times, each time her arm started to move higher and higher. And by the time we'd finished praying, maybe five or six times, she had full flexibility and life back in her arm. But the woman next to her was like, pray for me, pray for me. And so I prayed for her because her hand was completely, completely paralyzed. She couldn't do anything with it. And so with the faith that I'd just seen God just miraculously heal this woman's arm, I was like, yes, of course I'll pray for you. And prayed and prayed, nothing happened. Nothing happened. She didn't get healed. And I had a choice in that moment. As much as my disappointment did overtake my thinking, I had to realize that any absence of breakthrough or miracle does not define God's nature. It doesn't define God's nature. And I feel like today, if people are contending for breakthrough, you have to know He's good. You have to know he's very, very good. And that there's so much hope for whatever season you're in. Sometimes I feel like we have to lay down the right to have answers, as annoying as that is. We have to lay down the right to have answers. God is building character in each one of us. But it goes through the process. It's never just about the outcome. It's never just about the breakthrough. It's about the process in the in between. And I feel like in the process that I've been through, if I hadn't have gone through them, I wouldn't know God like I know God today. And I wouldn't know his love like I know his love today. I wouldn't know his kindness like I know his kindness today. And God's been teaching me a lot about joy. I really love joy. I actually, to be honest, when people preached about joy, I didn't like it. Because if you're not joyful, it's quite offensive. And God has been teaching me a lot about joy in this season. To be joyful about his goodness, to be joyful about the hope that we have in him. No matter what's going on, no matter what is going on, he is good. And sometimes I feel like we have to have these little moments of our heart check, just a heart check in the process. Do I believe that God is good? What do I believe? Who do I believe God is? Because that changes everything. Do I go by my experience of that woman not being healed? Or do I still continue to pray for people's healing? Do I let one experience completely shut me down and turn away from the Lord and be like, nope, you're not who you say you are? Or do I believe with faith and a pure devotion to continue what he's already said? And that's a choice we all have. Love always has a choice. Love always has a choice. I read this quote once and I was really struck by it. It said, if obedience didn't violate reason, sometimes God wouldn't have to speak because we would be able to get there by ourselves. If obedience didn't violate reason, God wouldn't have to speak because we'd be able to get there by ourselves. God's way is so much higher than ours. So much higher than ours. But he still allows us to partner with him. It's just the beauty of his love. It's the beauty of that oneness we have with Jesus Christ. It baffles me that it was the joy set before him that he endured the cross. The joy set before him that he endured the cross. I'm like, well, if he says that, then I can persist with joy in anything. Because of the breakthrough that's coming. And I love the hope that when you're in a season of holding promises but you haven't seen them fulfilled yet, it's like, get around people who are experiencing their fulfilled promises. Because Mary, when she got told she was pregnant, she couldn't actually see, and she could have doubted because she didn't see the promise. But she went to Elizabeth, whose promise was being fulfilled, and got around her. And if you're in a season where you're like, God, you've promised me this, but I don't see it. God, you've promised me that, but I don't see that either. Get around people who are experiencing the fulfillment of promises that God has given, and celebrate with them. Because that will ignite faith and hope into your life. Because you're seeing the goodness of God on their life, and it's available to you too. It's available to you too. And that deep hope of seeing people taste and see that he is good, it will come to you too. He'll never let you down. I love that song that we sang this morning, Reckless Love. There's no shadow he won't light up. There's no mountain that he won't climb up coming after you. And I think there's many times where I do get frustrated. I'm like, Lord, where are you? Where are you, Jesus? But almost this processing the process type stuff, if I'm frustrated, it's usually because Somewhere I've exalted my opinion higher than his. And that's quite convicting. That's quite like, whew. But then there's a balance in that where God does really value your heart. And as I'm just kind of processing what I'm saying, I really do feel that God wants to just reiterate the permission to feel what's in your heart and to give it fully to him and be honest with how your heart is feeling in the process, in the waiting. In the sitting or the standing or the running or the walking, give your heart to him. In the Psalms, it's crazy. I was talking to some people last night and we were saying in the Psalms it's crazy because David always pours out almost like this flesh stuff. Oh God, you hate me. And I feel like this. I have these emotions. Da, 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 da. God's not offended. Because at the end, David's always like, but I will rejoice. He is the King of Kings. His love is everlasting. We will rejoice. Always gives praise at the end. So, I just want to bless wherever you're at with the Lord. I just want to bless your process in walking with him. If you're waiting on promises, if you seem stuck in a situation, I just want to give you joy back. Because you're doing great. You're doing great. The Father's proud of you. And Paul, he goes through so much. Yeah, he says, in this we have joy. Oh, how annoying. It doesn't, like, you can't justify, really, why you haven't got joy. Which can be super annoying. When I don't feel joyful, I'm like, this is the reason why I don't feel joyful. But then I remember that joy is important to God and it's a fruit of the Spirit. So would you stand a second? I'm just going to pray for you. Lord, I thank you for these people. I thank you for the process that you have them on. Lord, I pray and speak to their spirits now and just ask, Lord, that you would clothe them with strength, that they would rise up in confidence, knowing that you are good, knowing that you stay true to your word. Father, I pray against any hopelessness. Father, would you exchange it for hope? Any heaviness, exchange it for praise, Jesus. Lord, I pray that for each person here, they'd be filled with joy in what's coming, but also get real with you and give their hearts to you. And know that the absence of any breakthrough does not define your nature. Pray that we would know that, God. The absence of any breakthrough, any miracle, any outcome doesn't define your goodness, doesn't define your mercy or your grace. I pray for a lightness to come upon people who feel heavy. And just bless your minds to know and be fully convinced that he is who he says he is. Jesus' name. Amen. 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 All right, yeah.